The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
Or Ray at RTE.ie. Christmas list. Is Brian Kennedy on your list? He is. Christmas Morning. It's a beautiful song. Brendan from Beddystown, if you haven't heard that song, go and look for it. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Yes, it's there too. That's one of my favourites. Want a hippopotamus for Christmas. And Christmas calories. Wow, the mystery prevails. How come a half a pound box of chocolates can make you gain a stone in weight? And even if I started running straight after Christmas, I wouldn't be back before the 1st of January 2028, says Tony in Dublin. They work off the Christmas day. Joanne McNally joins us in studio. Good afternoon, Joanne.
Good afternoon.
You are doing your first Vicar Street.
Yes.
And you're on tour with...
Glee Bag. From January.
Yeah. From January, right, okay.
So I'm going all over the place.
And you're home for Christmas from London?
I'm home for Christmas, yeah. Yeah. Not now, as in I have to go back, but I am coming home for Christmas.
Right.
And yeah, I'd be killed if I didn't come home for Christmas.
And things seem to be happening for you over
in
London?
Yeah, I love London, yeah. It's amazing. And I have my Bite Me show has been commissioned for a channel or a Radio 4 show now, so that's right. Exciting. Yeah, and that's ticking along.
That was about your bulimia.
Yeah. I know, I never thought I'd get this long out of it. Kind of glad it happened now.
You're a sick
not
woman.
Terrible. Not terrible. Best thing that ever happened to me. Launched my career. Who would have thought it?
You can't be flippant about bulimia.
I can't. I did a show about it. Yeah. I was actually talking to someone the other day and I was like, because I get kind of cynical about, which I think, I can't decide if I'm just a massive hypocrite or if there's a difference when I do it. But like when I go to Edinburgh and everyone's doing shows about heavy stuff, I'm like, why is it okay for me to do it? But I roll my eyes when I hear someone else talking about the death of their father or their depression. I was like, I think what it is that Bite Me never asks for pity. Like it's taking the mick out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
It never says poor me. And I think that's the difference.
And you're out the other side.
I'm out the other side now. Yeah, thank God.
Completely.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
No, because I spoke to somebody recently, I can't remember who it was, and even if I could, I probably wouldn't mention their name, about anorexia. And they were saying that they still battle, although it's like 15, 20 years ago since they were in the midst of it.
Oh yeah, you'd still have like mad thoughts. Like you still have, and I would still have to check myself if, like sometimes I get freaked out. Like I can't lose a pound or else friends are like, there's an intervention of like, okay, are you all right? I always have to go to the toilet before dinners. I cannot go to the bathroom for half an hour after a meal or everyone's like, shh, 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 shh. That will stay with me forever, I'd imagine, because people are watching because of my past.
Yes.
But personally, I feel great. Like even like, I'm totally cool with like putting on weight, losing weight now. I don't get freaked out by it. Like I still think I can leave the house if I put on half a stone. There's great freedom in it. But it's years of like, because it took years to happen, like I didn't just wake up like a bulimic. Mm. It took years of kind of like little chip away at your sanity. So it took years to unlearn those behaviours.
And have you done research on it? A bit,
yeah.
Yes. So it hits people oftentimes in the adolescent years,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people grow out of it?
I don't know. They say it's one of the hardest things to recover from. And I would always be aware that like, if I'm stressed or anything, I would react with food. I would eat less food if I'm stressed, or I have that thing of like, I can't control the external, so I'll control the internal. So I'll like cut my size down and things like that. So I'm still aware, but like, I'm not like binging and purging my meals anymore, which is a great relief to everyone involved in my life.
Yes. And you're saying you're a big fan of Christmas.
Huge fan of Christmas. I love it. I love it so much.
What in particular?
I don't know. I think I'm very suggestible. So like any of the ads and stuff, if they tell me I'm having a lovely time, I believe that I'm having a lovely time. And I love the lights and I love even like the Coca-Cola ads, all that stuff. I love the feeling of it. Mm. Do you know that way?
Warm, cozy, fuzzy. Yeah.
It triggers all those things in my mind. Like I'm an advertiser's wet dream, basically, because I just believe everything they tell me. People get really cynical about Christmas. Like I started in October. It kind of does start in October now, doesn't it?
Well, when Halloween is out of the way, they start Christmas. Yeah.
Pure, like love Mariah Carey, like all that jazz, like Christmas jumpers, the whole shebang. I find Christmas Day mind-numbingly boring, and then it picks up again on Stephen's Day.
They need to work on Christmas Day,
they
don't they?
They need to work on Christmas Day. Yeah. I love a game. So like I feel that that makes the day. We have we drink Cosmos on Christmas Day.
Yeah, right.
Because I obviously got into Cosmos because I'm a generation that was raised on Sex and the City. And then I introduced my mother to Cosmos and she has never looked back. She loves a Cosmo. Right. So we make a huge big jug of Cosmo and it sits in the fridge. The jug that's usually used for like Kiora. And we sup out of that all day and we play games.
Do you ever get that headband one?
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. Yeah. I think we gave my mother Holly Valance, who she's clearly never heard of in her life.
Kiss Holly Valance.
Yeah.
Wow. Where does she now?
There, the hot Cosmo spilling on over the place. She didn't know who she was. She's married. She married a billionaire businessman. And
is there a celebrity headband thing? Because the one at home that we have, it's foodstuffs and objects. And
oh, we just wrote them.
Oh, you just write them. Oh, names. Yes.
We're like,
yes.
Who are you?
And they can ask
questions about who they are. I play it in cars as well. If I'm driving to gigs, I'll always play 20 questions. And depending,
you don't have to buy the game.
With.
No, you're right. Just get a packet
just
of post-its.
I'm telling you who you are. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're the tour Glee bag.
Yeah.
Right. And is it themed or?
Not really, no. It's just kind of what it is to be in your 30s, can't buy houses, will I get Botox, I'm a millennial, am I a snowflake? Right. Questions.
Okay.
Irreverent crack, I would say.
And will you get Botox?
No. Oh, yeah. I mean, of course I will. Yeah. But I'll lie about it.
Right. Do you know who we were watching the other day? And this isn't, well, it's, we were watching Ellie Goulding.
Oh, yeah. I like her.
Yeah. Have you seen her lips?
No, she had the lips done.
Yeah. And then Jenny went and Googled her and she gave an interview to say that she felt she was doing well, but she wasn't getting the covers of magazines that she felt she should have been getting.
And that's why she got her lips done.
That's
no, do you know what?
Right?
I think that when you see, like, I love a lip. If I could get away with having my lips done, I'd have lips the size of a clubbed seal. Like, I'd go big, right? But you can't because you always know, you always see when someone's had their lips done. And I think when I see someone with their lips done, it makes me think they're insecure.
Yes.
So when Anna Friel, for example, has had her lips done and I can't see past her lips now. Plus, and I won't, like, obviously get into the details of it because of the time we're on, but, like, what do you really, you're kind of just positioning yourself as...
Yeah.
Yes. Really good at a job I don't particularly like.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't see the point in it.
I don't know if that's what Ellie Goulding was thinking when she got them done.
She should have put more thought into it. But you can just think. But
I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, now, I know.
She doesn't care what I think. But so you're not going to get Botox anymore?
No. Well, I'd probably get Botox, but I won't get my lips done.
Okay.
No.
And not been able to afford a house.
I mean, I can't afford a house. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I just have to keep feeding my mum mince pies until she passes on and I take hers. She's like, you've no pension. I'm like, I do. It's you. Like, I'm looking at it. So I'm flying her full of booze and fags.
Right.
No, I'm messing. But the hope is, because obviously I'm 35, so I was a late starter, as in I had a big career change when I was 30.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
You were in marketing, were you?
Public relations. So I've no, like, pension as such, none of that stuff. So I'm just hoping I make it, or else I'm literally going to be living in a box somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can rent, of course.
But I have this Irish mentality of, like,
you
renting.
Need to own a home.
I have
yes.
to own a home, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That renting, you do feel like, even now when I rent, it does feel like you're wasting money. And you're
dead
not
money,
wasting
dead money.
Money.
Dead
I
money,
feel like
your
I'm
man.
Paying someone else's mortgage and I'd rather just pay my own.
Yeah. I was chatting to you on the telly about your dad and Winnie had a minute to talk about him, so you can fill us in on that. So you're adopted, people will know that.
Yeah.
And you met your biological mother and then you went about finding your biological dad through Facebook.
Yeah.
And you were successful.
Yeah, I found him. He was the first person, because I look so like him, which made up for the disappointment of when I found my biological mother and I looked nothing like her. So when I put his name into Facebook, he was the first person who came up. And his name's quite common. It just so happened he was the first person who came up. And I was like, oh my God. It was just me, but bald.
Yeah.
That was it. He's the image of me.
And explain to me, I think you might have explained this to me before, why it was so important that he looked like you or you looked like him.
Because I think, and I can't obviously speak for other adopted people, but personally, I felt that looking like someone was your sense of self, as in, like, it was your sense of belonging. Like, that's what anchored you to the world,
right.
Is knowing, having visible evidence that you came from somebody else.
It anchored you to the world.
But that was my understanding of it. So when people would look like their siblings, I was so jealous, or they'd look like their parents. And Mum said that people used to tell her that me and my brother looked like her because they didn't know, they wouldn't have known we were adopted because people see what they want.
Yes,
to see.
Yes.
Or else they just say it because they're making conversation. But like my brother looks Italian. Like we look nothing alike. But in fact...
Is he adopted?
He's adopted as well.
Well yeah.
But we got a painting of us done in France 1 year on holiday. Like we were kids. Like he's 5 years older than me. And we it still hangs in the house. And I laugh every time I see it. We're like twins. We're like identical twins. Your man sketched us on the street, like,
yeah.
And we were like identical twins. And in reality, we don't even look like second cousins. But anyway, so it was massively important to me that I looked like someone, and I felt that that would kind of give me a stronger sense of self. So when I first saw my biological mother's picture, I was devastated because I just look. She looks actually quite like my mother, and. I told you this before, I ended up looking up this, I thought that there'd been a mistake in the agency, so I, now that I had her first name and her surname, I put it into Facebook and found another woman with the same name who was the spitz of me, and she was a painter, and obviously I kind of fancied
myself. You prefer that.
I fancied that. That was a better story. It fitted my narrative better.
Yes.
And she'd emigrated Ireland in 1983 from
it fitted my narrative better.
I was a little deluded and I'd taken a drink at the time. And then she emigrated Ireland in 1983, which is the year I was born. So I assumed that was, you know, from guilt or like whatever. So I started Facebook mailing her, like basically accusing
her. And it wasn't her.
Accusing her of being my mother. No, she was very nice. And she said, no, I'm not.
Now
sorry.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. And then I sent back another letter sending pictures of myself beside herself so that she like couldn't deny it. And then she was like, listen, I don't know what to tell you. Like, so eventually I went back and I was like, right, obviously this woman. I mean, of course, once I got to know my biological mother. We were very similar.
And you've got to know your biological dad.
Yes. Yeah. Kevin, yeah.
He's all good.
He's cool. He's sound. He's like, I was saying that he's all like cool. He's very cool. He's a cool dad.
Does he fit in with your narrative?
No, none of them did. I say, like, I wanted to come from like a showbiz. I assumed that like my family is, you know, we're a real normal family. Like my mum's a nurse, my dad was a draftsman, my brother's an accountant. So I wanted the kind of glitz and glamour to come from
your biological side.
Family. But I basically found the exact same thing. So it was like doing my leavings for the second time and getting the same results. So I was like, oh, right, okay. It's literally the exact same family on the other side.
JoanneMcNally.com. People can see where you're gigging all over the country.
Yes.
And then Vicar Street, Friday, April 26th.
Yep.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night thinking about Vicar Street? Going on stage and freezing?
No, I don't. I do. I was going to ask you to do the support, Ray. You wouldn't be into it now. I have stresses around the show for writing the show to make sure that I'm writing. So I have loads and loads and loads of new stuff, which I'll be kind of working out from January. But no, I'm looking forward to it. Like I've been on the Vicar Street stage enough times now that it doesn't feel alien to me, which is a bonus.
You did support, yeah.
So.
But it is seen as a rites of passage, isn't it, in Ireland?
Yeah, it's like the Mecca, basically. It's like you're basically promoting yourself.
Yeah.
No one's going to stop you doing a Vicar Street. Well, I suppose Aiken would if they're like, you're not going to sell anything, they probably would stop you. But you are taking a punt on yourself, really.
You're backing yourself, as they say, in sporting terms.
Exactly.
And the thing is that it's a contract with the people who pay money to see you that,
you know,
they have bought the ticket, make me laugh.
Yeah. Well, now I wasn't worried about it, but now I'm getting really worried about it. Right?
But that's what it is, isn't it?
I know. And as well, you're like, I don't want to let them down. You know what I mean? As in, like, a lot of the people I think coming maybe won't have seen me do stand up at all before. So I'm sure there'll be a massive drop off right after. Yeah. No, I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll be great.
And just the next time you come in, we must talk about changing career as you did in your, what, mid 20s or late 20s?
Late 20s, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started doing stand up when I was 31. 31, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, yeah. Big change, yeah.
That's a huge change.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I remember, did we meet when you were in your old job? I think you came in and...
I might have been on the other side.
You pitched something. I think you did pitch
did
something.
Did I? Probably
Vodafone
wanted to get on
World
the show.
Vodafone World of Difference or something like that.
Well, that was it. Like, the Vodafone competition I won,
yeah.
I went to work for a mental health charity.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, which sent me a little bit...
What? Right.
Mentally not healthy. They're a weird place to work, I think.
Which?
Mental health charities. Because they're a business at the end of the day, you see.
Mm.
You think
that's another day's conversation. Now I'm not going to start right. here now.
Right. I'm not flagging mental health.
JoanneMcNally.com. No, but it is. It's an interesting chat. JoanneMcNally.com and Vicar Street on Friday, April 26th. Joanne, happy Christmas.
Thank you, Ray. Happy Christmas.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.